Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the weekend review and preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the September employment report and its impact on possible rate cuts by the Fed. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Brian Rowe, Senior Economist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, as well as Paul Hsiao, Asset Allocation Strategist Americas. Thank you both so much for joining us today. So let's get started. Brian, I'll start with you. Let's begin with the September employment report, which we received just a short while ago. How did the data look, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
So overall, the report was quite a bit stronger than expected. The headline non-farm payrolls rising by 254,000. Consensus was only 150. And on top of that, there were upward revisions totaling 72,000 to the prior 2 months. So really a lot, way above consensus. Also, the unemployment rate ticked lower to 4.1%, and the average hourly earnings also beat to the upside, rising 0.4 month over month. And I should mention also out this week, we had the JOLTS data on openings, showed an increase in openings, although the hiring and quit rate were lower, the openings themselves reversed and moved to higher. And from a big picture perspective, the labor market has been cooling off for more than 2 years now. I don't think that trend has changed. At the peak, labor market was so overheated that it's still strong, even after softening for 2 years, still, pretty strong labor market overall. And the weakest area is for new entrants, especially people coming out of school, trying to find their first job. They're struggling. But other than that, as you can see from today's data, the overall labor market is still, historically speaking, a relatively strong labor market.
Paul, how might this outcome impact the course of further rate cuts by the Fed?
Yeah, I think that's a good question and something that's certainly on investors' mind. So going into this report, the Fed seemed to send a pretty clear message that it plans to cut about 100 basis points this year, starting with a 50 basis point cut in September, and then more in 2025, rather in line with CIO expectations. And this is really based in, the cooling of the labor market that Jerome Powell was describing. And it seemed that the Fed placed particular emphasis on the labor market since data used to be very strong, and then it cooled significantly. And Powell said something along the lines of, we do not believe that we need to see further cooling in the labor market in order to achieve 2% inflation, sort of signaling to markets that they are trying to cut to support the labor market and, making sure that conditions for a soft landing exist and that we avoid a recession. So as Brian pointed out, the data was undoubtedly quite strong. Another 50 basis points is another sort of jumbo 50 basis points cut for the rest of the year. It's probably unlikely. This raises the odds slightly for the Fed to skip either November or December when it comes to a rate cut meeting, especially if we continue to get strong prints over the next couple of months. There is some question about how port strikes might affect the October payroll data, and we'll see how the Fed sort of sees through that noise. But I think undoubtedly strong. I saw that the odds for more rate cuts this year declined slightly. We had yields on the 2-year go up by 15 basis points as investors sort of reassess market conditions. But undoubtedly, this was a strong labor market print and reduces the chances of sort of a jumbo size rate cuts for the rest of the year.
So, Brian, moving outside of the jobs data, were there any other notable economic data releases over the past few days?
The main indicator out this week was the ISM PMIs. We had manufacturing looking weak again. But the services side, which is mostly the economy, that was better. And especially the details report showing production and new orders a lot stronger than the previous month. But I'd also note that included in the PMI report, they have quotes from respondents to the survey. And those quotes really weren't as good as the numbers might suggest. And really two factors were mentioned. One is that there are some plans that are on hold until after the election. So, you know, we're just a few weeks away now from the election, and some decisions, it seems like businesses are just saying, oh, let's see how the election turns out, and then we'll, you know, move forward on our plans. And also, your Fed rate cut was mentioned, but it takes some time for that to work through. So, you know, still too early to see the positive effect from that. So, again, a little bit of a mixed picture. But at least I would say that rise in the services PMI is encouraging, because it's more in line with the GDP growth numbers that we're seeing. Previously, it was, you know, it looked very soft, but now it looks okay. You know, maybe the economy really is growing at a pretty decent pace.
So, Paul, broadly speaking, can you remind us of CIO's current allocation preferences?
As Brian pointed out, it looks like the regime, that the macroeconomic regime we're currently in, is actually quite benign to risk assets. We have growth in the labor market, obviously, holding up stronger than many would have thought. The Fed, even though rate cut expectations have pared down a bit, still clearly is on the easing cycle, which tends to be quite good for risk assets in general. So one of our messages in focus, I think, is really important to emphasize right now, just given the election noise, rising geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, some potential labor market data noise from the payrolls. It's really just to stay invested through volatility, and that's something that we've been stressing to our clients throughout this year, because we thought that volatility tends to rise during the election season, but with a lot of things going on and with volatility being quite low during the first half of the year, we thought that this is an important thing for investors to keep in mind. When it comes to different asset classes in equities, CIO still generally likes IT stocks based on their healthy balance sheets, rising earnings growth, and lingering AI optimism. Within fixed income, falling rates is broadly supportive of all fixed income instruments, and CIO has preferences for agency MBSs and IG corporate bonds in this environment. And then for alternatives in general, in a higher inflation environment, which looks like we're still in given the strong labor market data, in general, we believe that this investment regime has maintained the stock-bond correlation, and clients can really do well with diversifying with alternatives in pockets of the market, especially since many parts of the alternative markets are looking attractive as valuations have come down with the higher rates of the last couple of years, and exit opportunities are likely to increase as the Fed continues to lower rates in the intermediate future.
Well, we are coming to the end of our conversation today, and I want to pivot to next week. Brian, what is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
The focus will definitely be on the inflation data. We get the CPI data and also PPI. This is very important for the Fed policy. If we have a strong inflation print on top of today's strong labor print, the market will have to think about the possibility of the Fed pausing at the November meeting. And we'll also get the FOMC minutes from the September meeting where they cut rates. And this will give us a better idea of what the discussion was like. Why did they cut 50 instead of 25? What would it take for them to cut 50 again? Or, you know, what would make them pause? This may bring some clarity to, you know, exactly how the Fed will react to any data that we get in the future.
Perfect. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.